You're listening to Exploring Faith. My name is Jesse. Thanks for joining us today. And on this show, we love to have conversations, get authentic, talk about life, faith, experiences, career. Today, we have Brent Botkin with us. Brent, how are things going?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good to just get to know you better. And I know you've had a full day with kids, but that's what you love. And tell us, you know, I want to talk about, obviously, you've received an award as Teacher of the Year recently, and, you know, you're so appreciated. You're making a big impact on students' lives, too. But let's start out with your own journey with sports in particular, and talk about how that was a passion for you growing up.
Yeah, so when I was a kid, I had a pretty rough upbringing. I had a family member die who was really close to me when I was 8 years old. So I only had sports kind of to lean on and help me through those tough times. And as I grew older, that's kind of why I wanted to become a teacher. I'm a physical education teacher, and so I get to teach them sports and help out kids who, you know, have similar situations that I had growing up. And, you know, everybody has their own story, and I just want to help as many kids as I can kind of battle through some of the similar situations that I went through. So that's kind of why I leaned on sports, and I have leaned on sports to help teach kids throughout my life so far. I'm also a baseball coach, so great. I'm totally involved with sports.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah, I started out, my parents got divorced when I was 7, and that was pretty traumatic. And I, like you say the phrase, leaned on sports. That just played all the time, baseball, basketball, soccer, and so much enjoyment. What do you think it is about sports that can be such a positive outlet for kids growing up, and especially kids that have gone through a lot?
I just think it just totally releases your mind and your body to another place. It takes you just out of any situation that you're currently going through in terms of family life or struggles at school, and you just get to play something that's fun. And if you have fun in your life, I feel like you can make it through lots of hard times, because, you know, you go through those hard times and then you have a little bit of positive, a little bit of fun, and you go through those hard times again and then you have more fun. It kind of all balances out, so you're able to kind of make it through each day. But I feel like kids that don't, it doesn't have to just be sports though. It could be like any sort of extracurricular thing, like music or drama club or anything like that, math club, anything they enjoy. I think that's really helpful to find something that you love. And I always encourage kids to, it doesn't have to just be sports, that's what I love, but something to get your mind off of, you know, some of the hard things that kids have to go through, especially.
That's right. And with sports, especially team sports, I think you have that connection with a community where you're all working together. And, you know, in the classroom, you don't always have that same connection. Or maybe home life is tough, like you said. And so just to all be wearing the same uniform and all be practicing together every day, you really get to know people well with sports. Tell us about your own playing career. Baseball was a passion for you, played in college. Tell us about position you played, and just give us a little more details on that.
So I played three sports in high school. I played golf, I played football, and I played baseball. And football and baseball are obviously more of team sports, and I do agree with everything you said. Not only is sports great for giving you something to release your mind and to go have fun, but you're also learning how to work with others, a really important skill in life. It's great for teamwork. If you have a coach that really, really encourages you to show great teamwork at all times, really great for kids. But I fell into only baseball as I was senior in high school, and I realized that I was going to be a college player when I was a senior, so I kind of just started only playing baseball and became a pitcher only, where I don't get to hit. They don't let me hit anymore because I was focusing on pitching. And I got looked at by some colleges and ended up getting a scholarship to play baseball at Central Washington University. And, you know, just it was one of the coolest experiences that's ever happened to me, just because I didn't know if I was going to make it to college. I didn't get really good grades, so I was able to just make it through, just barely make it through high school, and got a scholarship, and I was able to turn it around in college in terms of grades. I really understood what it took to get good grades in college, but it took me a while to figure it out, so I was really fortunate to have baseball.
That's it. That's outstanding. Yeah, some of us, you know, late bloomer in different areas, and once you're in that context at college, it sounds like you really spread your wings and kind of found a good rhythm there, too. You know, what's it like having a mindset of a pitcher? Do you feel a lot of pressure? Because, I mean, baseball, that's the key position. Or were you able to relax? What would you tell yourself to just, so you wouldn't aim, but you just throw the ball? What was going through your mind as a pitcher?
Oh, that's a tough question, because there's a lot going through your mind as a pitcher. You have the ball every play. You're in complete control of the game. My mentality was, I'm better than everybody who's going to come up to bat. I'm the best player out here. I'm going to reach back. I'm going to fire it by you. So I feel like as a pitcher, you do have to have a little bit of like ferociousness. You can't be afraid at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you show your emotions like on your sleeve, if you wear your emotions on your sleeve and you look like you're afraid or you're challenged by an umpire or a batter, you're not going to do very good. I mean, the hitters are going to see that. They're going to get confident and they're going to start snapping you around. So as a pitcher, you just got to like really like just act like you are on top of the world and you're not afraid of anything. And I coach kids right now and I teach my pitchers to do that. And it really does help. You have to keep a straight face in your mind. You have to think, I'm going to get this guy out every time, no matter how big, how strong, how good the player is or looks. You just have to keep that steady mindset that you're the best, and that's it, nothing else.
Yeah.
And so that's what I did. I made it really far doing that. So
nice.
Pretty good.
Yeah. How fast can you throw?
Like right now? Or
well, no, back in the
good,
day.
When I was good.
Yeah, at your prime.
At my prime, I was throwing about 87 to 90 in that range. And I had a slider and a curveball and a changeup. All of those pitches were decent, but, you know, I was okay.
Nice. Yeah.
I held my own.
It's moving. Yeah. And did you think, as you were playing, were you thinking about coaching? Did you have that interest and desire then, or did that come later?
No, that all came later. I only thought about baseball and working out. That was it. I sometimes thought about my schoolwork, but it was mainly, it's a full-time job when you play a college sport. I don't know if many people really understand how much work you got to put into it. You wake up at 6, you have to go into the gym and work out for 2 hours, then you got to run, then you got to go to class for 3 or 4 hours, then you got to go back to practice, practice till dark, and then you're tired and you go home and you go to sleep, so you don't really have time to have a social life or to like have a job or anything. So you're completely broke and you're working full time as a baseball player. So pretty challenging, but
yeah,
it's a good experience for you know, you're learning about life and how things are hard and you got to make it through each day. So it's college athletics is amazing, and I always talk to my students about it, and I hope all of them really get the message that it's really important to try to make it there.
That's great. It does take a lot of commitment and discipline. I mean, you can't fake it at that point. You've got to have a genuine, deep passion for the sport. And then I think, you know, talking about coaching, if you have great coaches, then the environment, I mean, it brings out the best in everybody, and the bond that happens on the road trips, the games, playing every day together, it's unique. There's just not a lot like it. I played college, you know, athletics, soccer. I was a goalkeeper. But those friendships, I mean, those last your whole life. So, but the commitment level is really high, like you said.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I still keep in contact with many, many people that play college baseball with. It's just a different type of friendship. You know, you went to battle with those guys, so you always call them up and talk about just some games, some tough games you went through in the past. You know, you got your best friends from back home, but then you got your college athletic friends. So you got two different type of friends, but they're all awesome. So
yeah, that's right.
Nice.
Hey, Brent, you're talking about kind of your journey with sports and then a little bit academics. What about faith for you? What does that look like? Did you grow up thinking much about God, or what were your interest levels?
I was from a family that had mixed views.
Yeah.
My mom went to church every Sunday, and my dad didn't go. And they made it work somehow, but she and my sister went, and my dad kind of, I don't know, I just followed my dad around, so I didn't really go as a kid. And I just kind of grew up that way, but when I got older, to my teenage years, I started to go to church more, and now as an adult, I am a Christian, so I just have kind of had a kind of a rocky path on my way there, but
sure.
As a kid, I mean, you kind of have to be guided that direction, else you really don't know any better. So, you know, if all the kids that are Christians is because, well, mainly is because their parents are Christians and they have given them the opportunity to go to church and to learn about God. So that is really cool. But not all kids are that way. So they have to either learn it or they are not Christians, so it's kind of sad in that regard, I guess.
Yeah, yep. And there's that process too of discovering. I mean, everyone makes their own choice, even if parents believe something. But house, there's a range in my family of different beliefs, you know, from atheist to Jewish and Catholic, and kind of a Heinz 57 variety. But trying to sort through all that, what was it for you that helped you reach that point where you're like, I want to have a relationship with God and, you know, I want to trust Jesus? Was it through friendships or was it studying the Bible? What kind of sparked your interest?
I don't know. I haven't really thought that through, really, honestly. I think it's just there's kind of been something in my head telling me that's what I needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly, I think it's because maybe my mom, who passed away, believed in Jesus Christ, so I felt like maybe I needed to follow her path because she's not with us now, so
yeah.
I just felt like it took a while. It was a hard path for me, to be honest with you. I battled it quite a bit because of what I've gone through, but
yeah,
I'm comfortable now to say that, you know, I'll never be anything other than a Christian and to believe in Jesus, but,
sure.
You know, it hasn't been a straight, narrow path like some people, and it hasn't been, you know, like I'm totally against it either. You know, I'm kind of,
right.
You know, I've gone through, you know, a kind of a different path, but I would say that I'm 100% there right now, so that's good.
Yeah. When your mom passed, did you find yourself getting angry about that or angry towards God at all, or were you just hurting a lot?
I was just hurting. I was so young, I didn't really know what... I had a lot of thoughts going through my head.
Yeah.
Not really many of them were about faith, really, honestly. My sister, who was 100% a Christian, she turned, and she was saying real negative things like that, but I was so young, I was kind of just not really listening to her.
Yeah, right. That's all right.
And my dad, of course, wasn't saying good things, so, you know, so I'm just kind of trying to make... I've always been a person that makes my own choices.
Yeah.
I observe everybody around me, I bring it in, but I'll in the end make my own choice. I'm not really like a follower.
You can tell.
I decide what's best.
Right.
Yeah, I decide what's best for me in my life, and I kind of just jump on board and make my own decision. And I've made the decision to follow God, so I think it's best for me.
That's right. Hey, going back to some after-school stuff, Soccer for Success. Tell me about that program and why you got involved. Of course, you know, soccer for me, I ended up getting sick in Africa, and so I became a pastor and never saw that coming. But soccer is such a big part of my life. Tell me about Soccer for Success and what you see happening there through that program.
Soccer for Success is an after-school program for... Well, it's really supposed to be geared towards low-income families at my school, but I allow you know, all families to join. Our school is about 70% low income anyways. So I pretty much just allow whoever wants to play to be on the team.
Mm-hmm.
But basically it's 2 hours after school. We give them a snack at 4 o'clock and then we practice till 5:30. And it's just a really good opportunity for some kids who are, you know, going through things in their life and having troubles at school to connect with more adults after school and to learn a sport that they love to play. So that's basically what it is.
That's great. Do a lot of them, have they played soccer already and they're pretty good at it, or do you get a lot of beginners?
Oh, lots of beginners. It's kind of a mix.
Yeah.
Pretty good mix, but we divide them up into four teams, like beginner level soccer players, team one, and then I coach team four, which is either the most experienced or the oldest kids.
Hmm.
I might get some fifth graders that aren't very experienced, but they want to be on my team just because it's their last chance to play on the team, so I'll let them come.
Right on. Hey, tell us about Teacher of the Year Award for Auburn School District. That's such an incredible honor. It talks a lot about, you know, your relationships with students and just how well you're doing in your position. Did that surprise you? What was kind of the highlight of that whole experience?
It was very surprising. I didn't even really know I was nominated till my principal comes in my office and says, "Well, we've nominated you to be, you know, in the running for Teacher of the Year this year." So I had to, thankfully, which is, it's awesome that he did that, but I had to write 6 or 7 papers, essays.
Oh, wow.
About some of the things I'm doing, like the soccer program, and I also mentor kids at my school every morning. Like 6 kids come into my office and we talk about how they're going to do that day. And,
mm-hmm.
and like, if, you know, we give them a score they have to try to reach, and if they can't quite make that score, we talk at the end of the day about some things they can work on to get a better score.
Yeah.
So, you know, just I'm really involved, and I think that's why I got recognized.
That's
several
awesome.
Different things at my school.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. You know, one thing I appreciate about sports is I think it can really unite people, and like soccer is a sport that's most popular around the world, and you see people, you know, World Cup coming up, different countries coming together. I find that, you know, with the teammates I've had, sadly our culture is sometimes segregated, but through sport, people from different ethnicities, cultures, even nations can come together. With the students you're working with, do you see a lot of diversity? And then kind of describe, talk about that bond that happens, that, you know, walls can come down and people in the relationship getting closer through sports.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for sure. I definitely see that a lot. I definitely agree with that about sports, too. I mean, if you look at the Olympics that we just had, like, there's countries that have been fighting for years and years and years, and one Olympics kind of brought all these countries back together, and now we're, like, almost trying to see world peace, which is, I mean, it all kind of comes back to sports.
Hmm.
And, you know, at my school, it's very diverse, too, and we have this family night where I have all these kids bring all their different favorite foods that their families like to make, and we all enjoy them together. It's, like, the biggest celebration at our school. It's amazing.
Yep.
And I think the kids really, really like the diversity aspect of our program in soccer. We do a World Cup event where they get to, like, dress up in different countries and stuff like that. They love it. So, yeah, they definitely like the aspect of soccer and the way it brings different cultures and kids together. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, that's so good. And then, Brent, talk about, you know, requirements, physical education. I know you have a passion for seeing those requirements being strengthened. What is it that drives that? Is it that you want to see healthy kids that, you know, talk about how you raise the bar for kids overall with PE?
Yeah, I mean, I have a big passion for health and fitness and making sure kids are having healthy habits. So, you know, when I went to college, that's one thing they really taught us when we were taking our classes, was to make sure that you're really honing in on fitness, and not just like
playing dodgeball or doing group games. You know, you really want to teach the kids to fall in love with health and fitness at a young age so they have those habits throughout their lifetime to keep them in good shape and to keep their hearts healthy and all that. So, yeah, that's something that I really take into consideration. I really try to teach that a lot in my classes.
Do you think you work with all ages? Because, I mean, there's a need for fitness and health, I mean, across the age spectrum. Do you think you'll expand that over time?
Like, to higher age groups?
Yeah, like do you think you work...
middle school, high school level?
Yeah, and even adults in the community or maybe seniors. I just see so many people need help with fitness, exercise, activity, getting encouragement along those lines. I'm wondering if you've thought about that just beyond the school.
Yeah, I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried about, you know, our community and people around us and our state, just in the way that they just really have no regard for, like, eating healthy. You know, fast food is everywhere, and it's concerning, but I haven't really thought about ways I can make a difference in that area. I'm kind of just focused on young kids right now.
Yeah. It's a good place to be. And some of those habits, you know, if they get good habits early on, then that can be a lifetime. I mean, it was, I wasn't, you know, it's been a lot of years. I still play soccer, but some of those habits that I picked up on nutrition and exercise, stretching, you know, sit-ups, all those things, they just stuck with me after my playing career was ended, you know? And so I think taking care of your body, we only got one body, and, you know, if we don't take care of it, it can be destructive. So I think you're bringing a lot, maybe even indirectly, through some of your classes and what you're teaching there and the habits you bring too.
Thank you. I hope they're going home and telling maybe their families about some of the things we're learning. That might be helpful.
Yeah, that's right.
For the kids.
That's right. And it sounds like, I mean, between school and coaching, I think, you know, teachers don't get enough credit and coaches don't get enough credit. And the people who volunteer on the side, you know, full schedules, but they coach. I think back to the coaches I had, and I just remember all of them. They've had such a big impact on me. Like, I think of, you know, I had a basketball coach. I changed schools in fifth grade, and my basketball coach, Coach Elkhart, it's like, because we had such a bond on the basketball team, it made the school safer for me, you know, and it just changed my attitude towards the school. And I just don't forget those guys, you know, whether it's 20, 30, you know, years later, all my coaches right through college, Coach Clark, it's like I got to know them so well. So talk about that bond that you've experienced as both a player when you've had an excellent coach, and then what kind of coach you really want to be for players now too.
Man, I remember all my coaches that I had a bond with. I remember all them over, you know, all the coaches that, you know, yelled at me and told me I wasn't good enough. And I don't know, I've been on several sports teams, and I've had really good coaches and coaches that I really don't care to remember at all. And I don't remember those coaches anymore. But the coach that I want to be is the coach that I remember, and that's the coach that, you know, if I'm having a bad game, they're not going to give up on me. They're going to ask me what I need to do to get better, what I need to do to improve. They're not just going to put me on the bench and, you know, not going to give me another shot. Like, as a coach, I don't look at my kids' talent. I look at how hard they're working, and I want all of them to, I expect all of my players to go out and perform.
Yeah.
To a good level, no matter who I put in. I don't care if the kid's batting like .080, which in baseball terms is really bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'll still put him in and pat him on the back, and I'll say, hey, I believe in you right now. You're going to go get a hit. And sometimes, you know, in the clutch situations when you do that, those kids will come up the biggest for you because you always believed in them instead of said, well, I'm going to pitch it for this guy right now because, you know, he doesn't have a very good batting average, and I don't think he can do it. You have doubt, and as a coach, if you have doubt like that, your kids are going to have doubt. Everybody around you is going to have doubt. So, you just like the positive coaches that always give you a high five, and, you know, they can be hard on you, but at times, but for the most part, like a player's coach, just that type of, you know, person, someone that you want to be around, and that you're not afraid of, you know, someone who's not going to yell at you for making an error, you know, a physical error, which happens all the time.
Yeah.
In baseball, so.
That's right. That's right. Hey, Brent, thanks for taking time today. We've been just having a conversation with Teacher of the Year for Auburn School District, Brent Botkin, and talking about sports, fitness, his passion for teaching, coaching, and talking about sports and faith, too. And as you were talking about, you know, different kinds of coaches, I was thinking of different people who have different views of God, but the coach you want is the one who's in your corner, who's for you, and who believes in you, and you can trust. And I think in a lot of ways that kind of a coach is a good picture of who God is and his kindness and his care, and he brings out the best in us, too, with his help. So, again, thanks for listening today, and check out on our website. You'll see all of our interviews there, exploring-faith.com. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. You can find show notes and other great episodes at exploring-faith.com. You can also join the conversation on Facebook at Exploring Your Faith.